Welcome to Afterword. This is Peter with this week's sermon recap from 2 Peter 2, 10 through 16. Can we agree that this is some tough terrain? The Apostle Peter doesn't hold back here. He is calling these false teachers bold and willful, irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed. He pulls out the big guns when he describes their cycle of addiction. They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed. So what is Peter doing here? Is he just a grumpy old man who has lost his filter and letting the younger generation have it? No, Peter is simultaneously doing two things. He is normalizing these sins, and he is demonizing these sins. Think about the two primary sins he is concerned about, indulgence and defiance. He is highlighting these two in verse 10 when he says, "And especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority." Indulgence and defiance. Everything he says in this section falls under one of these two. So when I say he is normalizing these two, I mean he is addressing tendencies and temptations we all experience. Think of the first one, indulgence. Which of us is never tempted by impure thoughts? Who of us has not experienced desires that are corrupted or twisted? Which of us has nothing in our past that is filed in the folder marked shame, and of which the enemy loves to open up that and replay that scandal to identify us by it? Or think of defiance. Which of us never assumes a disposition to resist, resenting those who direct us or correct us? Which one of us always welcomes feedback and appreciates being admonished? Which of us consistently can make fun of ourselves when our stubbornness swells to cartoonish levels? Of course, the answer to all these questions is none of us. This is what I mean by normalize. Peter is not legitimizing sin, but he is normalizing these struggles, assuming that with the right, or maybe I should say wrong, circumstances, temptations, we all can give in to indulgence and defiance. So Peter is not talking about struggles of people out there. False teaching, in one sense, is not the product of some moral monster, a Frankenstein freakish being that none of us could ever resemble. No, moral heresy is among us, Peter is warning. Apostates are not goblins. They are ordinary people who struggle with ordinary desires. And in that sense, Peter is normalizing false teaching. But he is also demonizing it. He is painting a picture of indulgence and defiance with bright red colors, flashing lights, warning signs, turn back, cliff ahead. Desires that seemed so natural, so understandable, so reasonable, can so easily take on a life of their own. They promise to satisfy these longings that feel neglected and ignored. Yearnings that once were sent to heaven, yet somehow they seem to be lost in the mail, sent to God's junk folder. At least that's how it feels. So these desires turn away and they begin to look for a different home. Perhaps God has not given us everything we need for life and godliness, they wonder. Perhaps his promises are not precious and very great. Perhaps God has begun a work in me, yet he has no intention of completing it. Like Saul, waiting for Samuel to arrive, our hearts grow impatient. I must do something since God is not working at my pace. I will make my own offering, create my own solution, satisfy my own longings in a way that might violate God's word, but at least satisfy my desires. Like Abraham, waiting for God's promise decade after decade. Oh, I have an idea. I'll sleep with Hagar. I'll jumpstart God's promise in the flesh. This never goes well. Fortunately for Abraham, he saw the error of his way and he turned back to God. The false teachers in 2 Peter refuse to repent. They are blinded by and bound in their indulgence and defiance. So this is the main difference between followers of Jesus and the false teachers. Followers of Jesus will at times struggle with sexual temptations or tendencies to be stubborn or defiant. But their heart is to know Jesus in an experiential way, to know how his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence. They long to know how this power has given me what I need for this struggle. How does God's grace, his empowering favor, enable me to escape the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire? See, true believers are aware of 2 Peter 2, but living in 2 Peter 1. Fake believers and false teachers are living in 2 Peter 2. Now, this is so important for those of us who struggle with sexual temptation. For example, some of you have asked great questions like this one. What does all this mean for the millions of believers who struggle with sexual sin and the ones who feel they've been hurt by its effects? By normalizing and demonizing struggles like indulgence and defiance, Peter is doing several things simultaneously. First, he is offering hope to those of us who are struggling with sexual temptation. You're not alone. You're not a monster. Move closer to God's family. Receive grace to help in time of need. For example, in our church, Conquer Series groups are starting up again soon. Counseling is available. We can be open and honest with one another regarding our struggles. We are in this together. But he is also warning us of sexual predators. There really are wolves in sheep's clothing who, as Peter warned, have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice, often abuse, unsteady souls. This is why we have strong child safety policies, why we teach about the cycle of abuse, why we have counseling for those who have been harmed by physical, sexual, or emotional abuse. 2 Peter 2 is strong because the harm done by abusive spiritual leaders is real and devastating. But remember, the Lord knows how to rescue. The Lord knows how to punish. So as Peter ends his letter with these words, "We are not carried away with the error of lawless people, but we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." Thanks for joining us for Afterwards.